Welcome to the Abundant Life Podcast, bringing you encouragement and challenging believers to spiritual change and growth by applying biblical principles to everyday life. And now your hosts, Sasso Mendez and Ben Arellano.
Welcome everybody to the Abundant Life Podcast. I'm here with my good friend and brother in the faith, Sasso Mendez.
Welcome.
This is episode number 18.
I'm not saying anything because Rebecca said, you said, wow, whatever. So yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot, man.
I think we're coming up on a year.
Hit 20. I was going to hit 20.
Really?
20 episodes.
I think we'll hit 20 before our year, when we started talking about this. I don't know when we started talking about this. Maybe June? I think it was June.
So maybe by next month we'll have 20 in the bag.
When we started talking about it and then all the work that goes into, you know what I mean? Yeah. Well, you know more than I do. All I did was show up and start talking. But
well, we're already, I mean, last week we talked about being more regular, and then what happens this week? We're 3 weeks. So
need some Metamucil to be more regular, perhaps.
Yeah. Well, it's my fault. I was on a little vacation for 8 days. I was back east.
Very kind for you to say vacation. I'm sure it wasn't a whole lot of a vacation.
Well, you know, we got to see some cool sights. So in that sense, it was vacation. But as far as rest, no, it was quite a trip. It was not restful. It was awesome to see all the sites, all the historic sites. I will say though, Philadelphia, we did try the Philly cheesesteak there, and it's interesting. Back in Philly, apparently they do cheese whiz. So over here, you know, you typically get a cheesesteak over here, and they do provolone. I guess I don't know provolone,
yeah, something like that. I don't know,
American white cheese. I don't know, something like that. But over there, cheese whiz.
Did you like it better than the provolone?
It was good, dude. I'm not going to lie. It was
good.
Did
they put bell peppers in there? Onions?
Yeah, bell peppers, onions. They loaded it. It was delish, dude. It was a little mom pop shop downtown Philly. Philly is, you know, it could be a nice city. It could be a really nice city. But unfortunately, I don't think those taxpayer dollars are getting good, you know, getting used.
Well, the person I know from Philly maybe gives a bad taste in my mouth. That's why.
Yeah. Now, some of the buildings there were just amazing. The architecture, the city hall, that building was just amazing. It was nice. But the streets, oh, man, they're terrible, man. They're all broken up, construction, cobblestones all messed up.
Oh, they had cobblestone streets?
A couple of the streets are just little sections, you know. But yeah, in fact, it's funny, we drove in, you know, we had the rental van and we drove in, and immediately we parked into a parking garage, and I got a flat. So construction somewhere, we got a nail or a screw or something.
I saw that picture, like your sanctification test right away.
We had a flat tire. Immediate sanctification test, bro.
Like, wow, like, man, these guys didn't even get started and they're already flat.
So how about you, man? Any tacos past couple weeks?
I've had tacos the last 2 weeks, to be honest. So I went to one restaurant, disappointing, and never go back there. And then I went to another one. Nate got back from the trip that you guys went on. He said there was no Mexican food over there.
Pretty much no.
A lot of cheesesteaks. And
we did see a Tacos Tijuana over there in Maryland.
Really?
In Maryland.
Was it the same kind? Or?
I don't know. I mean, we were stopping for gas, and I seen a sign. I'm like, I took a snapshot of it just because I'm like, you know, Tacos Tijuana in Maryland. That was pretty interesting.
Did you guys stop by or no?
No, we
I drove on through.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know if I would have stopped by. I mean, who knows?
It might have been crab tacos or something. They do crab over there in Maryland.
Maybe so.
Yeah. It might have been good. Who knows?
Crawfish, something. Yeah. Who knows?
So we got to go get tacos. I mean, Pastor talked about lengua yesterday.
I haven't had any in a while, dude. I'm kind of jonesing for a taco.
Well, he said James 3 and the tongue, and then I thought of tongue, you know, tongue tacos.
Lengua.
I know, yeah. Nothing to do with anything, but, you know, my mind started to roam a little bit there.
Absolutely.
Sorry, Pastor. But yeah, I had some good food, and yeah. I need to go on a diet. That's what my pants tell me anyway. Like, hey, psst, psst. The fat pants are tight. You're like, oh no, like, we're stretched out here.
Yeah, even the stretchy pants are not stretching beyond the stretch point now.
No, they said, if you bend over, we can't hold you. We have no promises.
They're maxed.
You're about to feel a big gust of air shoot through you. So be careful when you bend over. So, yes. Yeah. Well, anyway.
We'll have to hit some tacos here soon, man. And hopefully now, you know, we'll be back on a regular schedule, maybe.
I hope so. I mean, school is intense, but yeah, I got 7 weeks left, and then we're done.
How many weeks?
7.
Wow.
Yeah, and so counting.
That'll go by pretty quick. I mean, so yeah, if we're recording every 2 weeks, so in the next two episodes, by the time we hit 20,
we should
be good to go. Yeah.
Celebrate the taco.
Well, we were thinking about doing this particular episode at one of our local favorite restaurants here. We decided not to. Well, for sake of time also, but we just weren't quite sure about the environment. What,
yeah, getting sworn at or
what, yeah, kind of, what kind of, yeah.
In a nice way, if you can be sworn at in a nice way.
But I got to be honest, he was pretty nice this past weekend. We stopped by. I took Diana. And she got a cheesesteak, of all things. Mm. And typically they don't sell cheesesteak on the weekend. But I said, hey, you know, hey, she's never had it. You know, I wanted to show her the cheesesteak here. And, you know, we made a special request. And you know what? He hooked us up, man. So, yeah.
He's nice in a weird way. I don't know how to say it.
Yeah, he,
in the swearing way, blank. You know, would you like some more tea? You know, like
beep.
Yeah, we had to mute him out in the podcast, so we decided not to do that. So
maybe one of these episodes we'll do a live episode from the restaurant.
He just can't guest star in it.
No,
we can't trust him.
Well, it's a good thing I edit these, you know, before we publish them. And I had Paul was asking me the other night at FTL. He's like, hey, you guys should be doing video. And I'm like, yeah, that's cool, and I think it would be great. I said, but you really can't edit the video. I mean, I can't.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I could. It's just going to look really weird. You're going to look like the Kung Fu, you know? You're going to be the words won't line up, you know?
Oh, that would be better, like Godzilla from Japan, those movies. I did see Godzilla's.
But, we'll have to subtitle it.
That'd be great. Is Paul willing to do it? I know he's good at that type of stuff.
He is. I think we would need two cameras, though.
Oh, okay.
Because you need one shooting one way and one the other way. So
yeah, make the room real dark.
But he did offer. He actually did offer.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you say? Did you even listen to the podcast?
Well, and that's kind of what he was asking. He's like, you know, I'm more visual. He's like, I read lips, so I get it. You know, he doesn't have good hearing. So, but that was his request to video it. But I think he also offered to, you know, potentially record it. He says he does it for another brother in the church that does a Thursday night Bible study. He records it. I think he live streams it onto Facebook or something. I don't know.
Somebody told me that Freedom at Last. I just haven't got to that point. I don't know that what I say I want to be broadcast to anybody anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Maybe. That's the other thing. You got to be careful with what you say because, like I said, you really can't edit. You can edit video, but it's going to make it really weird and awkward and choppy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I don't want to see anybody sleeping in church and comments I make about that. So I've kind of laid low on that. Keep it PG.
Yeah. So. Well, in this episode, this is kind of a special episode for Sasso and I. We decided, this is probably a few weeks ago, we wanted to do an episode on the topic of friendship, biblical friendship, and what that looks like. And so we decided to, again, we were going to do this at a local restaurant. We were just going to kind of jot just a couple of notes down. In fact, we don't have a ton of notes today, but we are just going to chat about biblical friendship. So I'm going to let Sasso kick this one off.
All right. So I will start off with a story in the Bible and basically tell you the story of, from my perspective anyway, of how Ben and I, how the podcast started and how we kind of became friends here. So Acts 15, 36 to 39, talk about Paul and Barnabas. And some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark, but Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Cilicia, sorry. I just wanted to, I'm not saying this is that Ben and I had this sharp contention, but I will say that we went to church together for 7 years prior to this one. I've been there 7 years, Ben been there much longer. And Ben wasn't an enemy of mine, but I wasn't like a Ben fan. I don't know why. We used to pray together sometimes in small groups. And I would say part of it probably was just, I don't know, dumb jealousy or pride for whatever reason, because Ben was more established in the church. I wasn't. I mean, I went to get voted on for deacons like 4 years, denied for three of those 4 years. And then the fourth year, there was only three nominations, and so three people. So I got in. I'm not saying there's a sharp contention, but there was definitely not a love there that it should have been from my perspective. And I will say by Proverbs 13:10, it says, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. And so, I mean, Ben and I were deacons together, and we talked as much as we had to on the deacon board, but we weren't, like, kicking it. I don't even know if I had your number. If I did, I don't know that we had sent like now, if I try to find a text from a day ago, there's 100 texts between you and I that I'm like, I can't find it, like never. And then Rebecca shows me how to do it.
There's probably like 20 gifts in there.
Yeah, 20 gifts that come up and like, well, let's get to the meat and potatoes of it. But before, there was really no text or anything like that. And so I had this, you know, I want to do a podcast like Unshackled. And I asked Ben, hey, how do you do that? And Ben sent me a passive income podcast. And I was like, doggone it. Like, I don't want to know how to do it myself. Like, I need help. Like, what, you know. So I was kind of annoyed, just to be honest. And it just ain't go anywhere. And then one day I was cutting my, you know, and this was a year later. And I was cutting my dad's grass and listening to a podcast. And I said, God said to me, hey, you know, what about the podcast that you, that I led you to do, that I put on your heart and mind? And I go, yeah, that's right, that's right. And then that Monday, and Ben and I really hadn't talked. Ben just was recovering from his Achilles, and I think you're already rehabbing past that, but you were going running for the first time.
Yep.
And so they had that run club on Monday night, and I went to go pick up, because I went one time with Kate, and she was embarrassed. I had to go run by myself behind the mountain, and they were very slow, so I'm glad I didn't go with him anyway. Yeah. But sorry, Gail. That's walking. It's not running, but 15-minute miles walking. Anyway, we won't get into there. Sorry, Gail. But I went to you know, Jason's house, and I showed up, our another brother's house. And for people that don't know who Jason is, and you came to the car, and you're like, hey, are you still interested in doing the podcast? And I'm like, yeah. It's like God just put us together at that time. And then I remember I said, hey, let's get together. And then we went to Richardson's. Yep, I said, well, let me pick you up on that next Monday.
Yep.
I'll pick you up, and then we'll talk about it. And then I think before we talked about it, I had to apologize and make things right, because I felt like in my heart anyway, there was a rift there. Man-made by me, like a man-made lake. You know, just it was a rift that I had in my own heart towards you. And I don't know why. I can't come back to a singular event or something you did to me. And Rebecca says you carry a chip on your shoulder sometimes. And sometimes I do. Like, I don't know. I just don't like people for whatever reason, because I'm a jerk. And I try not to be that way. I'm working on that really hard. But that's kind of where I was. And I don't know if you remember, but I did apologize just for what I was. And then here we are, you know. I don't know if you have any comments about that or that part of it or that point of it. Or the food was good.
Yeah, you know, and it's interesting. So I'm on in your boat as well. For me, there wasn't any contention, actually. I had a sense that you didn't care for me, but I wasn't super bothered by it.
I can't even hide that, sorry.
Yeah, I wasn't super bothered by it, but then I didn't know if it was just me being prideful and thinking, oh, you know, you don't like me, when you just could care less. You know what I mean? Like, I'm thinking more, thinking highly of myself, you know, like, oh, this guy needs to like me. But it's interesting. So I remember, we had a conversation about the podcast, and I do remember sending you all that info, and I thought I was being helpful.
But sorry.
Apparently I wasn't.
You were.
But it was interesting. I was actually at an appointment. My son had an orthodontic appointment, and I was sitting there, and I don't know why, but the Lord just impressed it on me. The Lord had been impressing something on me to do something probably since New Year's of that previous year. And I knew I wanted to do a podcast, or wanted to do a YouTube channel or something like that. I wanted to do something that wasn't, you know, related to my work, wasn't related to my, you know, my business. I wanted to do something that was just, you know, helping people, being a blessing to people, somehow sharing God's word, you know, whether it was through means of a podcast or a YouTube channel. And so anyway, when I'm sitting there at that appointment, for some reason, it just came to mind. And I think I sent you a text at that moment. And then you sent a text back. And then we connected, I think, that one night, like you said, at Jason's. And it just kind of rolled from there. And I was just...
That text is buried.
Yeah, I know. It's like...
a million texts later.
It'll take about 45 minutes to scroll through that thing. But we went to Richardson's. And man, I'll tell you what, that was a legit meal, bro.
It was good.
And... That's kind of the story of how we came to be. And I guess from there, I mean, the rest is history. Now we're called the Taco Twins, and, you know, we've got the Taco Talk, and we've got the Abundant Life Podcast.
Taco Twins shirt is pretty tight, so I don't wear it for today's episode.
Bro, you and me both. You and me both.
I think it's shrink in the wash. That's my excuse.
Well, maybe soon enough we'll lose a few pounds. We can fit it on again. We'll stretch it on.
Well, and I will say that night when we discussed Abundant Life as the name, and then you went home that night and you said, man, that thing's for sale. Like, abundantlife.fm it's available. And it's how God worked things out. And that was really cool how he did that. And how we, I mean, we're almost a year after that. I think it was like June, I want to say, something like that.
It's about a year, actually.
It's been a year since it went by really fast.
And it is actually a year coming up because I just got the renewal thing for the domain name. So it's,
oh,
been,
really?
It's been a year. Yeah.
Is it been a year already?
Yeah. Well, it will be. I think it's coming up in June, but you're right.
Did we do it June?
Yeah.
I just knew it was summer.
Yeah.
And I wasn't remembering. Yeah. But yeah, that's super cool.
Wow. So 18 episodes in a year. I don't know, man. Maybe that's not that great. I don't know.
Well, I think our goal is 26, right?
Oh, I think so. And the other thing too is I don't think we didn't hit the recording right away. I mean, we had to build a website. We got a lot of stuff together. We had to get all the equipment. That took a long time too because
it wasn't cheap.
Because of Corona, they were out of stock on everything. Right. I had to wait.
I think we started August is when we started the official podcast. We released our first. That would be easier to find than the text message of us talking about it. For sure.
It'd still be pretty good.
It's still in there. Yeah. I remember you sending me the, you know, like, this is what the cost is. And you got all that together. And just how God brought us together with those three episodes that we had to do first of all. And I mean, you put us on every Amazon, all that stuff. But just how God used that, you know, to, like, two separate visions to brought together, you know what I mean? To make one podcast. And it's friendship, right? It's friendship. And that's kind of, it's like me and Ben don't just record this episode and then we don't talk. I mean, when he's gone and stuff, Rebecca's like, hey, do you miss your boyfriend? She said dumb stuff like that to me. And I said, yeah, I text him occasionally, but I don't want to bother him because I know he's looking at sites and things, but she's giving me a hard time about it. And then when I go to this restaurant that we like to go to, I feel like I'm cheating on you, you know, like, you know, with another person. Like,
that's what I told Diane yesterday because we were sitting at there and I go, I got to send Sasso a picture of the wings and the, and then I told her, I go, yeah, I'm cheating on him.
She like, starts laughing. Guilty. You know, this is our spot right here. And so, Ben, I mean, I go back to that when we started to, you know, we got, how God brought us together. And I go to Proverbs 18:24, and it says, you know, how do we get friends? And a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that taketh closer than a brother. And I think of that verse, and I think if you never would have texted me, I think that was the first step. And then if we would never went to Richardson's, and if I would have never asked for forgiveness, we wouldn't be here. And that's part of showing yourself friendly. And I think there's people, even in a meeting we had, where people at church are wanting friends. And it seems like people were talking about how we need to be friendlier. But when we got down to it was just one singular person that everybody had talked to that told everybody that they don't have friends. And it's not hard to have friends if the Bible says, if you show yourself friendly. If you're friendly, and you know there's people that are just naturally friendly and outgoing that they don't have problem with friends. And there's people that, whoa, it's me. Like, why would I ever want to be friends with that person? Because they're definitely not friendly.
Yeah.
And we all know those people that have, you know, bitter milk face, to keep it clean here, you know, that you just would not want to be friends with.
Yeah. No, I think you what you said just now about, you know, we talk about being friendly, but being friendly and being friends are two different things. And I think a lot of times in our church, we are very friendly. We're super friendly. But it seems like that's just for Sunday, but then come Monday, we go back to who are you? And I think it's gotta go beyond that. I mean, I think, I don't remember if I heard it on a sermon, but I heard it somewhere where they said basically, you know, you should have, you know, friends, you know, super close friends, as many as you can count on maybe one or two hands, where you can get down below the surface. You can get below, hey, how are the Cardinals doing? Or how the D-backs doing? How the Suns doing? If you can get below that, you know, then you can start to build a relationship. But if you don't get below that, then yeah, it's just a Sunday friend. It's a what's up, bro? How you doing? And then once you're out the door, you're out. And you don't think about that dude. But if you're not thinking about that dude, that also means you're not praying for him. And so I think about this too, like, okay, if you want to be praying for your friends, you want to be you know, encouraging your friends, truly encouraging, because it's easy to send a text to anybody, but if you don't have a relationship established, that text doesn't mean anything.
Yeah,
it means absolutely nothing. So if you have a relationship established, like, I know you send me texts all the time, you send me Bible verses, or you send me, you know, clips of a sermon or whatever, and that's encouraging to me. But if I didn't know you, I would just, oh, what's he sending me?
What does this guy
want? It's more content I got to read, and I'll probably ignore it, honestly.
And I think that's important. Like, that's why I love Friday nights, because I think we get those relationships where I write the prayer request down, and I could tell you from Friday night, just going in that circle, what people are praying for.
Yeah.
And it helps me to remind to pray for them. to pray for you, to pray for other people. And sometimes, like, the groups that I'm not in, I text those guys and said, hey, would, is there something I can pray for you this week? And actually pray for them. Sometimes I forget. Sometimes it gets, because there's just a lot of people that ask for prayer. But it's important. That's how your friendships develop and grow, is when spiritually, and it's just like your marriage, right? When two people are seeking God, you're automatically drawn closer together.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the thing I like about FTL is you have a small group, and the small group consists of five, maybe six, seven people. And I feel like you're, because of the smallness of the group, you're more vulnerable. You're able to be more open about, you know, what's going on. You know, you can get more honest, you can get below the surface, you know what I mean? And it's cool because you can get to know the people, and then those prayers mean something. I mean, I've got those written down. I mean, I've been praying for some of our guys in our group, and not only that, but then you take it a step further, and we share a meal afterwards.
Yeah, thanks for cooking the hamburger today. That's fantastic.
Right on, man. I hope I didn't burn them too bad. I burned the first 10, I think, but
that's okay. We had plenty. We had a box of 40.
Sharissa was like, I like them charred. I'm like, shh, no, don't tell everybody.
That's my secret.
But no, sharing the meal, I think, is what also builds on those relationships, because, you know, you're praying together in the small group, but then you take that same conversation, you take it over food, and now you get personal, you're talking about other things, so you get to know the person.
Yeah, and I think that's, I mean, we had talked about it, and Jason was talking about that in a meeting one time, that's what, it's friend, the relationship is a Friday night, because you spend a lot of time together, and then you're sharing, you're vulnerable, and that's what a good friendship is to me. I had the 1828, I didn't pull that out. But just a vulnerability of giving someone, and there's times when you're up, I'm down, you're up. And that's what friendships are, spiritual friendships, these godly friendships, is praying for one another, uplifting one another. Because if you're not in a trial, you're about to get into trial, or a sanctification test, as I would say. Like, I had one today where my tire was flat, and my son's like, I had no idea the tire was low. I said, there's 0 pounds of pressure in the tire. How do you not know? We're not the Flintstones that have rocks. Like,
do you not hear that?
I thought it was a soundtrack or something. Like, no,
he was beatboxing.
Boom, 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 boom. So I mean, it's just crazy. So Ben, I'm going to go to what are friends good for? So I know that's kind of a depressing thing to say, but so they, what are they for? 1 Thessalonians 5:11, Bible says, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even also do ye do. And we're to comfort, we're to edify, we're to promote, encourage. And comfort's a huge thing, especially in friendships. I recall there was a time in March where I had a pretty bad week, and things had not gone as well as I thought. You know, my cousin passed away. Someone from the Gideons was essentially dying and giving me, hey, you're going to be the president of this Glendale camp, which I was not ready for. Just other things happened personally in my own home that I just were not good. And I remember, you know, you being there for me, Jason being there for me, and just praying. And that's what friendships do. They comfort one another. I was listening to an old preacher, and he was talking about the death of his father. And he had a deacon that lives like 60 miles away. He was a pastor. And the deacon worked hard, worked a lot of hours, and he showed up at the funeral. And the pastor was like blown away, like, wow, you came all the way out here. You're going to be exhausted. You're going to get like 3 hours of sleep. And he said, my dad told me the greatest thing you can do for someone is to be there in their greatest time of need. And I feel like this is your greatest time of need. And that's what the brothers are for, right? They bring that comfort that's here in this verse of together and edify one another, even also you do. And that's what a good Christian friendship does to me, is comfort and edify.
Yeah, and in fact, I was looking at Galatians 6:2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. And I think that's like what you just said. I mean, you know, we can encourage each other. Some days I'm up and you're down, or you're down and I'm up, and we can encourage each other. I know a couple years ago I was hurting. I had quite a few trials. This is before you and I had connected, and I had a few trials going, and there was a brother in the church that was actually pretty new to the church, which was interesting. And he reached out to me kind of out of the blue, and he just started praying with me and going to God's word with me, and he really helped me through that. But I think it's so important. I think this is the way God designed the church. I think that's the whole reason we have the church, is because we know life's hard. I mean, life's not easy. It's like I'm listening to a song earlier, and the guy's talking about how, you know, Jesus isn't going to make you rich, and Jesus isn't going to heal all your problems. Like, he may, But that's not the point. The point is to, he came to save, seek and save the lost.
Amen.
To save you from your sin. And so that's not to say that this life isn't going to get hard. In fact, when you get saved, when you trust the Lord and you give your life to the Lord, guess what? Your life might actually get harder. The Christian life is not easy. It's not for the weak. But I think that's the whole point of this is we have each other and we can lock arms and we can step through life together and, you know, admonish each other. And I think that's another important thing, about having a true friend is being able to call your friend out on, you know, hey bro, you know, what's up with this thing you're doing or what are you doing, bro? You know, hey, you need to knock that off. 'Cause that's not good. It's not healthy for you spiritually, you know? And I think
it's killing you.
That's a loving thing you can do for a brother. And if it's a true brother, he's going to receive it. I think there's a pretty sure there's a proverb on that, but I think that's super important.
I mean, I go to Hebrews 10:24, when it talks about, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Mm. And that's that verse where we're to provoke, we're to encourage, we're to sometimes prod, with love unto good works, to say, you know, I see you eating a 10,000 calorie diet. You know, you probably shouldn't do that because you're going to die. And I try not to be mean and call you fat, but because you care about people and you want to see them be the, and more so spiritually, like you see them going down a path or, you know about some things that they may be hitting, that you need to bring up, and it's difficult, but it's part of love. And just, I think that's a hard part of friendship, but it's an essential one where, I mean, we are to sometimes be the bumper in the bowling alley that the ball hits that and you're like, whoa, you know, you can't, don't do that. Get back onto the track. And I think of Proverbs 17:17, it says, iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. And I think in a good friendship has where two people are desiring to live for God and you have to be iron. You can't be, you know, if one decides not to, the friendship kind of suffers to me. Because you're not on that same pursuit of godliness that I think a good friend is. A good friend is in a pursuit for godliness and and wants to see you sharpen and wants to see you do what's right.
Yeah, and if you read in Philippians 2:4, it says, let each of you look not only on his own interests, but also on the interests of others. And I think that's like kind of what you're saying. You know, you may have to tell a brother, hey, stay in your lane, dude. Like, chill out or whatever, you know, or just... You know, just looking out for a brother, you know, you see a brother's down and you call him up, hey, let's do lunch and let's just chat. And sometimes it's just sitting down and listening to somebody and letting somebody vent. I know a lot of times, you know, this is before Jason started up his own gig. I mean, he was just struggling at his job place, man. And so we'd have lunch and it was a dump session. I mean, he was hurting and I'd just sit and listen, man. You know, I may not have the, you know, an answer or solution for him, or maybe I'd have some suggestions, but a lot of times it's just all he needed was just for somebody to listen. And I think that's part of this, but, and it's interesting, you know, talking about Jason, you know, in even just some of my other friendships in the church, you know, a lot of my friendships, you know, they're not based on, you know, common interests or, maybe like my hobbies or, you know, whatnot, you know, it's all based on the fact that we love the Lord. In fact, Jason and I probably wouldn't get along because I don't like bicycling and I don't really like running, honestly.
And shooting every day.
You know, but I love the guy because, you know, he loves the Lord. He loves serving the brethren. And that's what's attractive to me in a friendship, you know, with him or anyone else. I mean, you and I, we have a lot in common, I think, because we kind of had similar upbringings, you know. You know, that's kind of why I get along with Chuck, too. You know, Charles, we had a similar upbringing. But, you know... that's not the point. The point is that you love the Lord, and that's why, man, you and I have grown pretty close and, you know, close with like Charles or, you know, just other brothers from the church like Jason. You know, it's just that commonality that, you know, we love the Lord.
I mean, I think to me, part of a good friendship as well is forgiveness. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Amen. And I think of love forgives, love doesn't bring about. And I remember when I was first married, anything that Rebecca did, I had to correct her. And now I come to the point where she forgets to do something that I just do it. And I'm sure there's things that I forget to do that she just mulls over and doesn't make a big deal about it. And just where before I'd be like, well, yeah, I told you. And just, you know, just ravel and go on and on. And in this friendship too, I mean, we're... you know, whatever. Like, if you don't text me back for, you know, whatever, you're busy. It's not like, oh, man. And because your mind's, the devil's trying to cause division.
Oh, yeah.
And you just like, yeah, you know, he's busy, whatever.
I feel bad. I fell asleep the other night when you texted me. I was like, oh, man, in the morning. I'm like, well, sorry, it was late.
I know it was late. So I was like, yeah, Ben's probably hit the sack.
Yeah.
So
I was out.
While I was at the gym, I was doing my homework, and then I was just, that thought, random thought came to me, like, I'm going to send this to Ben. And then I was like 10:08, and I'm like, oh. And then you didn't text back. I go, oh, he's probably gone. Because you told me you woke up early that morning.
I was out.
And so I know you didn't go to bed early. But I think that's what love does. It's not to bring up occasion to find fault against someone, but to say, hey, let me give you the benefit of the doubt and then prove me wrong in that. But more than likely, we get mad at somebody and we make a big deal about things that, I mean, even at Freedom That Lasts, you'll have people get mad about temperature or the door's open, door's not open. And those are really, honestly, petty things that, I mean, we're not there at Freedom That Lasts so we can be, you know, whatever, fanned by an Egyptian and fed grapes. I mean, and that's what we do in our friendships. If you love the brethren, you love people, it'll cover that sin. You won't even think about it.
Amen. And you know, it's funny because I'm bad at that, dude. Like, I don't like to give people the benefit of the doubt.
Me neither. It's not natural.
First, it's not. It really isn't. It's hard. So I have to really work at that. But it's so true. I mean, if you're brothers in Christ, you really have to do that. It's love. I mean, that's how you love a friend. In fact, it's, you know, the Bible talks about different types of love, and I think that love is that phileo love.
That's how
when you get Philadelphia, you know, the city of brotherly love, you know, that kind
supposedly,
of thing.
Supposedly, yeah.
I think showing love is, like you said, it's forgiveness and it's giving someone the benefit of the doubt, which is not easy.
And it's hard because I don't think we're built that way. Like, to me, I like sometimes to carry a grudge for stupid reasons. And I'm trying to grow out of that because then I feel like I'm a victim and you owe me something. And that's not godly.
Right, right.
So I want to also talk about unity as a people that God gives us in the body of Christ. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Verses 9 through 12, two are better than one because they have a good reward for the labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And I go back to Red Rover, when you play that game and you know, I was starting to get a little chubby when I started, you know, in the later stages of that game, and you would look for the smallest people to break that route, and they would.
I remember that. I used to do that too.
They would see you coming, and they would just they would just pull their arms together.
Yeah.
And I think against the world, against the trials, against Satan, that we need to have a strong bond of Red Rover, when Satan tries to come. And I think this is what Ecclesiastes is talking about, the advantages of being friends and of having mutual assistance between brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that comes to mind is you know, just the unity that you have with a brother. If we read in Psalm 133, in fact, the whole psalm is about brothers dwelling in unity. It says, "Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like it is like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore." And so again, it's just having that unity, and again, just bringing that back to, well, unity, when you're speaking of unity, well, what's the basis of being united? And it's surrounding Christ. I mean, we're united in Christ. We're one in Christ. We're his church. We're brothers and sisters in Christ.
Amen. And that's the point and there's many brothers and sisters in Christ that are not friends, that could be friends, that choose not to be for whatever reason, or people looking for relationships and simply because they're not friendly. But God has given us friends in our lives for this very reason.
Yeah.
Because we're not to go at it alone. Just like he did. I think the disciples, if you watch The Chosen, he joked with them. They were his friends. They were followers of him. But at the end of the day, he loved them because they were part of the brethren, and they were his friends, literally his friends. I mean, I want to go into another part as a friend. What a friend plays is Proverbs 27:5-6. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful.
Yeah.
And there was a native, I was at a camp, and there was these two Native American brothers that one had been saved maybe 6 months, the other one had just gotten saved like within the last month. And the one brother got really mad at his saved brother and stabbed him in the neck. And the brother didn't want to press charges against his brother, and he went to he was going to go to jail.
Wow.
And the brother that stabbed him was so touched by that gesture that the other brother was able to lead him to the Lord.
Wow.
And when they were at camp, the brother was changing the brother that stabbed his brother was changing the bandages and cleaning his wounds every day because he couldn't reach it. And he was taking care of his brother that he had stabbed.
Wow.
So you had forgiveness, and then you had the wounds of a friend or the brother there that you were taking care of. And I think, you know, we can have physical wounds, but more so than that, spiritual wounds from the spiritual battle that we're in. As I would say, stay in the fight of the spiritual warfare that we're involved in. We do get beat up sometimes, and we do get wounded and discouraged, and sometimes want to quit.
Man, I can't. That's a pretty heavy story.
That's forgiveness.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That's
wow. I'm trying to think, like, you know, if that was me, I got stabbed, and man, I don't know. I'd be like, you know what, bro?
We're done.
Yeah, I don't think so, man.
The best friend heart is giving back to you.
Yeah.
Wow. the half and half. But yeah, these brothers still forgiveness, and the other brother got saved because of it.
But that's just the power of forgiveness, the power of love. I mean, that's the whole reason the Lord sacrificed himself for us. It's the whole reason right there. I mean, that's what a beautiful story, man.
Because he loved us. Amen. And Ben, I'm going to go into the example. We always got to go into the example, which is Jesus Christ. John 15, 12 through, let's say 15. This is my commandment. And there's a song that goes, if you're a little kid, you sing this song. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And that's Jesus, the greatest example. And that's what you were just talking about. That's why he laid down his life, because he had that love. At USAA, there's that verse that's in marble above. I mean, it's pretty big, and that's what it says. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. They're talking about the military aspect of it, but this is Jesus Christ who died for the world, not just his fellow American. It says, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And this is the commandment that he's given us, is to love one another. And that's friendship. Friendship is having a love, a deep concern for someone, rather than just, hey, we both like the Phoenix Suns and we hope they beat the Lakers and whatever. I mean, it's silly because it doesn't really matter, even though I enjoy that. But if the Suns lose, nothing changes in my life. If they win, nothing changes either.
But they're going to beat the Lakers, bro.
I hope so. I don't want. I'm just saying.
Yeah, LeBron has got to go down.
He got to go down. So that's the example that God has given us, is that he is love.
Yeah, in that love that God has, it's a perfect love. It's an unmovable, unchangeable love. I mean, and it's also a love that we don't deserve, but he chooses to give it to us. You know what I mean? It's unmerited. That's what grace is. And so just kind of bouncing off of the verse that you just gave us, I'm going to go to Romans 5. We'll start in verse 7. It says, for one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So again, it's just this love that the Lord has for us. It's unmerited. We've done nothing to deserve it. He just chooses to love us, and it's a perfect love. It's an amazing love.
Amen. And this is that verse. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And this is that friend that the verse is referring to, is Jesus Christ. He's never got mad at me. He's never turned me away. He's never rejected me. And that's when, you know, there was somebody in our group that talked about patience and having patience for someone. And just think of the patience that God has with us when we have these petty differences. And he's like, Sasa, you could have been friends with Ben 7 years ago, but you had these petty differences for what? Like it's silliness. It's absolute absurdity that just how God has, in my life, just kind of trying to work on me. And because I still have these, I don't know. I don't know why I do that. And then Rebecca says, you have a chip on your shoulder. And like, well, I'm not trying to. I'm like, well, you do.
I think we all have it.
Then I get mad at her.
I think we all have that to a certain extent. But look on the bright side. We got eternity, bro. So
that's right.
You know what I mean? We'll be having tacos in the streets of heaven.
Lamb tacos.
We'll be sitting with Jesus. You know what I mean? It'll be fish tacos on the beach, bro.
With the honeycomb.
You know it, man. You know it.
Put a little crunch in there. So, Ben, do you have any closing thoughts as we, unless you have something else you want to wrap up the podcast here with?
So, yeah, I just, you know, talking about friendship, and just one last thing, I was kind of just reading through 1 Samuel this morning, and, you know, one of the friendships they talk about in 1 Samuel is the friendship between David and Jonathan. In 1 Samuel 18, it says, as soon as he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Now, what happened before that? Before that verse was penned, what exactly went down? And basically what happened is David had just killed the Philistine. He had just killed Goliath. Okay. And if you remember, Goliath came and he was taunting the Israelites, and all the Israelites, you know, they were all scared. They were, you know, they didn't want to fight. They didn't want to step up. But David came along, and it's his little shepherd boy, you know, and he's like, you know what? Why are you guys scared? Why are you not going out there? You know, and they even try to fit some armor on him. He's like, no, I don't need this armor. He took a sling and three stones, and he told him, hey, you know, you come to me with a sword and a spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord God, you know, the God of Israel. And he slew the giant. And it's this little shepherd boy. And the giant, I mean, he was, I mean, I think the Bible says he's like nine foot or something like that, some pretty big.
Massive man.
You know, and David slew him, and he chopped off his head, and he's holding his head, and he brings him over to Saul, and Saul's like, who's this guy? Who's this kid? And they're like, oh, it's the son of Jesse. And he's like, wow, you know. And so anyway, that just happened. And as soon as that happened, Jonathan obviously had witnessed this. He saw this. He saw how David stepped up to the giant and saw what he said to the giant. And that's when this verse comes into play. It says, as soon as he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. So I guess the point is, Jonathan saw David in his actions and how much he put his trust and how much he loved the Lord. And because of that, there's that unity, there's that bond. And so again, it's just taking it back to, you know, what are my friendships based on? My friendships are based on the Lord Jesus because of what he did for me. But it's like, it's interesting how they were, their commonality was God, was how David loved God.
Amen, man, to that. And I would also say, be vulnerable to talk about things you struggle with in sin. And you'd be amazed to know that people struggle the same sins you do as well.
100%.
And just be honest. And doesn't mean that it's a brag show about sin. And you don't have to talk about sin. But just, you know, hey, I'm struggling. Pray for me. And just not make it about, everybody looks great on Sunday morning in a suit and a big Bible. But the brass tacks is, hey, where are you? What's your relationship with God? If God were to come today, are you even saved? You may come to church here, but, you know, what is, and I think that's a good point you make about basing your relationships on Jesus Christ, not on the things of this world, because they really don't mean anything, to be honest.
Well, you know, and it's interesting, you know, it's funny, like I went into just a little small mom and pop shop. It's a little Asian, you know, diner, whatever. And there was a gal, and she was taking my order. And she had a shirt on, and I don't remember what it said, born again or something. And I just said, hey, I like your t-shirt. And she kind of looks at me and she smiles. And it's like, you kind of know you have that bond. And so, you know, I had my transaction or whatever. And I just said, hey, God bless you. Hope you have a great day. And she said, God bless you too. And it's just neat to have that. You know, I'll probably never see her again, maybe, unless I go back to the place, which it's good food. So I probably will. So maybe I will see her again. But I know I'm going to see that same girl in heaven.
Amen.
And she's a sister. She's my sister in Christ. It's just amazing to know that you have these relationships just all over. And it's pretty cool when you come across one, you know?
Just like I told you about the dentist, you know, my hygienist that was cleaning my teeth that, you know, I've been going there for a couple of years. And then we started talking. And then she's like, oh, you're a believer. And just from our conversation. And I think there's more believers out there than we realize. And think we're alone, but we're really not.
Yeah.
There's people out there that need a good Christian friend. And I think the point of this podcast is to see how God can bring two people together, but more importantly, how he can bring you together with someone that's waiting for you as well.
Yeah.
And to be friendly, to be a friend, to be a good friend to someone else, and to not be scared to get some tacos with someone.
I mean, isn't it interesting the joy that you have, though? Like when you're talking to your hygienist, like you just have this joy in your heart. Like, It's just so cool. Like
you get knitted together, like the same verbiage. You know, you get knitted together because you have the spirit.
It's that commonality that
brings you together.
Commonality in
spirit tells you the other one.
Yeah. What a blessing, bro.
Amen.
Glad you're my friend, brother.
Yeah, glad you're my friend as well. Even though you go to Graziano's, I mean, the restaurant we go to without me.
I cheated on you, bro.
Oops.
Well, thank you guys for tuning in to this episode of the Abundant Life Podcast. Just want to take a quick moment to ask you to do a couple things. First, would you subscribe to the podcast? So you can do that through your favorite platform, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or whatever. And the reason for that is so that you are notified when a new episode drops. The second thing, please visit our website, abundantlife.fm. You'll get notes to this show, but also you can share this episode on social media. And I would love for you guys to do that, just so that we can get our show out there. And why do I want to do that? Well, couple of reasons. One is I want to be a blessing to other people, obviously, but also it gives us a little bit more exposure. And so when you guys subscribe and you share it and do things like that, in Apple Podcasts, we become more visible. So, you know, they have, when you go look at categories and stuff for like Christian podcasts and stuff like that, we'll eventually appear there. I think we need to get a few more episodes under our belt for us to probably even be considered for that. But everything helps.
Be a blessing to other people
when you guys subscribe. And then if you can, hey, leave us a rating. You know, rate the podcast. If you want, you can leave a note with the rating as well. But we would love for you guys to do that. Thanks, guys, for listening, and we will see you in the next episode.
Podcast 19.
Podcast number 19.
All right, till next time.
Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to the Abundant Life Podcast. We pray you were blessed by today's episode. Please visit us online at abundantlife.fm. Until next time, may God bless you.